First, we spend a lot of time investing in our jobs and careers, and we're willing to put in a lot of effort to keep our relationships with significant others going strong. When it comes to our friendships, we don't tend to think of it as something that requires so much maintenance. Most of the time, friends are just supposed to be fun. Our next guests say friendships are really important parts of our lives. They shouldn't have to play second or third fiddle, and they're worth a little work if that's what it takes. Aminatou Sow and Anne Friedman are two close friends who also host Call Your Girlfriend, a podcast about long-distance friendships, and they've written a new book sharing lessons, hardships, and their own rough patches in their friendship. It's called Big Friendship, How We Keep Each Other Close. Aminatou, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
And Anne, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you.
Let's talk at first about this concept of big friendship. Aminatou, could you tell us what the two of you mean by that?
Yes, we coined the term big friendship because we really wanted to put a stake in the ground about the kind of relationship that we were talking about. The word friend is so nebulous. It can mean truly anything from someone you haven't seen in 40 years, but you were close to once upon a time, to someone who is close to your life in the everyday today. And so when we talk about a big friendship, we are talking about a friendship that is mature, a friendship that is rooted in the future, a friendship where two people are really invested in being active in building a life together.
And can you talk about the value of making time, space, and effort for those kind of big friendships and not letting it be the thing that we let go of as we focus on the other stuff in our lives?
It's so true. You know, a thing that we heard from experts that we interviewed is ages 30 to 50 are like the sad low point in most people's lives when it comes to friendship. You know, like those are times when a lot of people see their caregiving responsibilities and their professional demands just really increase, and they feel like friendship is the thing that they can let go of. And I think what we're really trying to say is that, you know, friendship is a relationship that can be sustaining as well as something that requires time. And, you know, really living in community with friends can help you figure out these other areas of life, not detract from them. And we are all for finding ways to maintain a friendship, even through periods where one or both friends are feeling like they maybe don't have the time or the energy for it.
Aminatou, can you tell us a little bit about your friendship origin story between the two of you?
We met 11 years ago in Washington, D.C. We were introduced by a mutual friend who very intentionally set us up on a friend date. We went to watch television at her house. It was a time where, you had to show up at someone's house to watch cable. And, you know, and really since that day, we have been friends.
And can you talk about sort of the friendship courtship idea? I mean, we have kind of, I mean, they're complicated, but we have rules and systems for building a romantic relationship. As a grown-up, I don't know, it feels a little silly to come up to somebody and say, "Will you be my friend?" How can we kind of cultivate that with people, even if we don't know, like you two seem to, that this is the right one to be my friend?
That there's a feeling that by the time we get to adulthood, we're supposed to have our friends locked in, and somehow saying to someone, "Hey, I really want to be your friend," can feel like an admission of, like, I don't know, that you're not cool or that you don't have it all together or something like that. It can really require some vulnerability to do that. But you know, one thing that's been true for both of us and many people we've talked to is that it's not like you get to a certain age and all your friends are just locked in and they're going to, you know, be that way forever. You know, as life changes, circumstances around friendship change too. And we all are going to need to make new friends in adulthood. And you're right that saying explicitly, "Hey, do you want to be friends?" is an important part of that as we are all busy and as we all have to not make the assumption that everyone else has got their friends in order and we are the weird ones. Everyone needs friends.
We're talking to Anne Friedman and Aminatou Sow. They are the co-authors of the new book, Big Friendship, How We Keep Each Other Close. They are longtime friends themselves. You can join in. Do you have that friend, the one who has been your friend a long time, the one that you're maybe willing to do some work to keep in your life, even maybe if you live in different cities, different states, different countries by now? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Aminatou, the book focuses a lot on the upsides of you and Anne's friendships over the years. I'm going to be mean and go to the down part that you share in the book. Can you tell us how you ended up in kind of a doldrums, a weaker moment in your friendship, and how you put the effort into it to build it back up?
That's not being mean at all. And we really wish more people would actually talk about the complications of friendship. It's completely normal in a romantic relationship or even in a family situation to acknowledge that, you know, it's hard. It's hard to be a parent. It's hard to be a spouse. It's also very hard to be a friend. And we would love to make that normal. You know, in romantic relationships, there is this shorthand of we grew apart that everybody immediately understands what that means. But in friendship, the same thing is possible. There is not like a big, you know, dramatic incident that happened with us where we can just easily point a finger to someone. But over a couple of years, we just started missing each other. And we are two people who work together. So when, you know, when we are really straining to find things to talk about, we know that something is wrong there. And for us, that process ended up sending us to therapy because we really needed to find a way to repair our relationship.
And that in some ways, it sounds like, wow, that's bad. Your friendship got to a point where you needed therapy. On the other hand, Anne, you valued your friendship enough, the two of you, to make that kind of effort. Why was it so important to both of you?
That's a great question. And I think that our perspective on that has maybe changed over time. You know, originally, we both just wanted to figure out what was going on and gain a sense of peace with what had formerly been a really happy, supportive part of each of our lives that just wasn't that anymore. And I think that as we made this decision to do this, frankly, kind of weird and dramatic thing and go to therapy together as friends, we really realized how committed we were to each other and to finding a way to continue to be close. And I think that, you know, we have both learned a lot about ourselves individually through this process as well. And I think that is one thing that has always made us feel great about the investment. Like, yes, our friendship survived, but also just the amount of self-knowledge we each gained has been huge and transformative.
When you two started this podcast and started writing the book, I imagine you didn't know that we would all be sheltering at home and having a hard time socializing, but you two have done the long distance friendship thing. I'm hoping you have some great advice. Let's start with you, Aminatou, on keeping up friendships when you just can't get together in person.
Oh man, we are not experts. And we, you know, if you read one page of our book, you will understand that we are messy people who just love each other. And, you know, we are just trying to hang on too. I think that you're right. In this relationship, we have been long distance for a really long time. So we have some, you know, very built-in ways of how to stay in touch. But the longer the pandemic goes, the harder that becomes even for two people like us who are seasoned at it. I would say that if there's any advice to give here, the thing that I would say to people is to really just tell each other what you're anxious about. So much of friendship conflict or friendship anxiety is something that only ever plays out in one person's head. And I think that just saying to your friend, hey, I am really stressed out. You are important to me. I don't know how we do this. How can we both solve this together? Goes so much further than just, you know, like being miserable about it but on your own.
And Anne, I know people are doing Zoom conversations or other kinds of video chats. Do you have advice on kind of friendship maintenance, you know, in the text form as we're keeping an eye on each other's Facebook or whatever feeds?
Yeah, I think one thing that's become really clear to us is that keeping an eye on someone's feed is really not the same thing as checking in with them directly. You know, it can feel like we know the details of someone's life when we read what they're posting and see what they're posting on the internet. But the truth is, you know, we only have a little piece of the story. The internet makes it really hard to share things that are difficult or complicated or, you know, still unfolding, things that are not like a very definitive event. And that's the stuff that really makes up a close friendship, staying in touch about those daily struggles. And so, you know, we have both been through periods of various friendships where we are watching the other person online more than connecting with them directly. And it's true in this age when people are not together in person in a way they once were, it becomes all the more important to check on them and say, hey, I'm seeing this on your Facebook. Is that the whole story? Just ask about it directly.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Letitia is with us in Libertyville, Illinois. Letitia, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about?
Well, it really struck a chord to me with me when she mentioned about vulnerability. I'm 60 years old, and as I get older, friendships do come and go, and I hate to say it, but, you know, people pass on, people move away, they retire, and you lose that connection. So I recently made a new friend about 3 years ago. I was out walking in a forest preserve one morning, and I met a lovely young woman around my age, and she was looking at something in the lake, and I stopped and asked her what she was looking at, and we got to chatting and chatted for about 15, 20 minutes. And then I went home, and I really kept thinking about how much we clicked and how much we had in common. We both loved books, and we had older children. I had recently retired. She was thinking of retiring. And what really was hard for me, but I knew where she worked because she mentioned it. And so I just sent her an email at her work. I thought, gosh, this is kind of stalkerish. But I told her, I said, I really enjoyed our conversation. I know you like to walk in the morning. That's how we met. Would you consider me as a walking buddy occasionally? And she reached out immediately and said, yeah. And we have walked together two or three times a week since. With COVID, right now she's sort of stuck visiting family in Washington State. I really miss her, but we do check in. I just sent her a book from an author that we both like. And as we age, I just think it's so important to keep striving for maintaining friendships and making new friendships because, you know, it's really easy to become isolated as we get older.
Letitia, thank you so much for sharing that story. I mean, I don't know if I could do that, if I could make that first move with this person who, you know, 20 minutes ago was a stranger.
Rob, you have to. This story is so beautiful.
Yeah, I love the story.
I'm so moved. I'm so moved right now because here's the thing. Everyone wants to be pursued. It's just hard to be the one that initiates the thing, you know, but everyone wants to be invited. And I think that if you are someone who wants to have friends, you are going to have to do the inviting. And I love this story so much. It's so, so lovely.
Thank you so much for that call. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We're talking to the authors of the new book, Big Friendship, How We Keep Each Other Close, Aminatou Sow and Anne Friedman with us. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a story to share about a friend, old friend or new friend, and what you do to maintain friendships, even maybe when it's a little bit of work to keep it going? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our talk now with Anne Friedman and Aminatou Sow. They co-wrote a book about the challenges and benefits of friendship. It's called Big Friendship, How We Keep Each Other Close. They co-host the podcast Call Your Girlfriend. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Tell us about your valuable friendship or friendships. And do you have an origin story? Was there a rough patch that you got through? How'd you do it? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard from Nicole on Facebook. She shared her friendship origin story. She says, when we were in fourth grade, she was working on a report on the computer, and I tripped over the power cord. Guess who hadn't saved their work? She was so mad at me. But then 2 years later in sixth grade, we became inseparable, continued to be so 6 years through school, and are still BFFs today. We've been through everything together. Support and encouragement are priceless, and I look forward to the next 25 years of growth with her. And I want to key in on that support and encouragement idea, because the two of you have talked even before the book about the shine theory and the value of boosting your friends, not just being there for them, but actually boosting them. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it is exactly what this listener is describing. It's about showing up for your friend in the same way that you show up for yourself in your own life, your own career, your own goals. It's rooted in a phrase we have often said to each other, which is, I don't shine if you don't shine. And it's become a shorthand for collaborating with someone rather than competing against them or feeling jealous of them, and really making an investment in them being their best self as something that's, you know, good for you, good for the friendship, good for everyone.
Let's go back to our callers now. Peter is with us in Madison. Peter, hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Peter?
Well, I am in my 60s, and when I was in my 20s in college, someone from the church I attended said, you should have friends that are older than you and younger than you, not just friends your own age. And I've tried to follow that advice, and I think it is very good advice because you just get such a much better perspective on the world if you're not just with people of your own age group, where you're all going through the same thing at the same time, because you can learn from younger people, new ideas. For example, I'm generalizing, but, you know, what are some coming trends, et cetera? And also from the old people who are older than you, you know, what are some things that maybe you should plan for that maybe your group isn't thinking about? So just having people from different age groups.
I like it, Peter. I mean, what do you think? And that can be easier said than done sometimes, but the value of getting friends from different generations.
Oh, I mean, I think this advice is spot on, you know, especially when you think about just the transformative potential of friendship. And the caller is absolutely right. Having people in your life who are older and younger opens you up to all kinds of experiences and all kinds of knowledge. I think that we do not talk enough about intergenerational friendship, and it's very important.
Thanks for that call. We heard from Anna in Richland Center, who says people have a tendency to take their friends for granted. Don't do that, Anna says. She said she lost a dear friend 10 years ago and misses her badly. And that reminds me, you talk about, I think, research in the book that says, you know, one of the greatest regrets people have at the end of their days is exactly what Anna said, losing touch with their friends.
Yeah, you know, we quote a nurse in Australia who has written about this at length. You know, she cares for people at the end of their lives. And, you know, one thing that she consistently hears is that people really regret not hanging on to their friendships through times in life when maybe they felt they didn't have the time, or, you know, through the kind of rough patch that we've described. And the truth is, she has this line where she says, everyone misses their friends when they are dying. And like, wow, really, if you need a reason to stay in touch with people who care for you so deeply, like I can hardly think of a better one. You know, like, we really want to be there for each other until the very end.
We're talking to the authors of the new book, Big Friendship, How We Keep Each Other Close, Anne Friedman and Aminatou Sow. Talk about the value of friendship and the value of putting effort into maintaining friendships through your lives. I want to talk, before we run out of time, you spend a chapter on the issue of race. You two are from different backgrounds. As somebody looking in from the outside might say, oh, that's wonderful. Their friendship magically, got around all the issues of race in this world. And you say, no, not really. I mean, can you talk about that a little?
I am a Black person and Anne is white. Our friendship really is based on some shared values that we have. But the truth is that, you know, race is always happening in the world, whether in our friendship we are resolved about it or not. The world that we live in is largely racist. And so our approach is not to put our heads in the sand and say, oh, we have it figured out and nothing is happening here. But it really is to say we are two different people. And how do we account for the fact that things that happen in the world can also happen in our friendship? You know, we understand that a lot of people are new to this conversation about how, racism is really shaping American society, but that is not true for everyone. And so I think that, you know, having a little bit of humility and also having an understanding that you cannot truly be intimate with people if you do not understand their lived experience, that should really force everyone to be having these conversations all the time. And, you know, and it's not just people in interracial friendships that should be talking about race. People in every kind of friendship configuration should be talking about race, because it, racism is a dynamic that affects everyone in the country.
And can you talk about, you know, how to bring up a difficult issue between friends, whether it's race or politics or, you know, somebody's taking offense at something in an interpersonal relationship? How do you do that, you know, bring up that important thing without damaging the friendship?
Well, I can tell you where we have gotten in trouble on this front is that we have often waited a really long time to say something. You know I in particular am guilty of saying like, okay, that didn't feel great, but I am just going to wait and figure out till I have the exact right thing to say to my friend about this. And what tends to happen then is it festers and it does end up affecting the friendship, even if you're not talking about it. And, you know, I do think being able to say, hey, I know we share these core values, and yet this thing happened that really made me feel hurt or made me feel like we're not on the same page, or you know, made me question something that I had previously held true about our friendship. Being able to just say like, oof, that didn't feel good in real time is something that I really wish that I had been better at in both this friendship and other friendships of mine.
Just have a few moments left. Aminato, can you give a pep talk to people to maybe take a minute today to try to reconnect with that friend they've fizzled with, but they didn't want to?
Oh, I need that pep talk myself. You know, I think that really asking yourself, like, what is the worst thing that can happen if you have a really earnest conversation with someone? And the truth is that nothing bad will happen, you know, and probably you will learn a little bit about yourself, and you will come away with that experience with some empathy. I think that, you know, we are living in a time that is just really hard right now. We're in a once in a lifetime global pandemic. Everything is falling apart. And if the people that matter to you are not front and center, you know, in your mind right now, I don't know what to say about that. But I think that if they are really trying to come to a place where you give people the benefit of the doubt and you show them that you care about them and that you love them the same way that you would like for someone to show you that they love you and care about you is so important right now. So reach out to your friends and tell them that.
We'll leave it there. Thanks to both of our guests, Aminato So and Anne Friedman. They co-host the podcast Call Your Girlfriend, and their new book is called Big Friendship: How We Keep Each Other Close.